Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. Still got a ton of text to get to. We'll try to get to those in the next segment. All right, some other point throughout the remaining hour of the program. Still to come on the show this morning from 1819 News. Ray Mellick, you may know him. Some of you may know him from his sports writing days. Some of you may know him from the response to the BP oil spill down this way. But he is now launching 1819 News, part of the Alabama Policy Institute. We'll talk to him about that new endeavor that's coming up in about 30 minutes or so. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. I'm always grateful that he makes time for us. He's a state senator up in the Shoals region of the state. State Senator Larry Stutz on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Great, Jeff. Good morning to you. I appreciate you having me back on your show.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and you're always very kind to come on here. I guess a couple of things I want to get to before we get into the special session real quick. Just kind of your take on what's going on. Many of our listeners may not know, but you're a practicing obstetrician, but you're watching this COVID situation really closely, I assume. With all the mandates and all of the protocol, and we talk about ICU bed space and things like that. Where do you think we are in this pandemic right now?
Well, hopefully we've peaked as far as where we are in the pandemic. You know, we're starting to see declining number of cases in our hospital. We're down to in the 20-something patients, and we've had a recent high of about 50. And so we're under half of what we were just a few weeks ago. The bottom line is it's going to run its course. You know, we're going to have to develop some levels of immunity in the population, and that's either going to be by natural exposure or by vaccination. And, you know, those numbers are going to have to be high enough. And, of course, we're having more natural infections, so those people that are coming through that now should have good level of immunity. And, you know, we've got a significant number of people that have been vaccinated, and, but I'm not for any of the mandates. I think the vaccine should be a personal choice, just like the other healthcare items are. And I'm not for vaccine mandates at all. I think they're available. I've been vaccinated. I'm not against vaccines in general. I took the COVID vaccine early on when it was available, and I'm glad that I did. And but I don't think it ought to be mandated for people, period.
Yeah, but it just seems there's a tendency or at least a trend in that direction, especially from the left in this country to mandate it. But I guess we'll see how that goes. Senator, I want to get you on to talk about a few things. Special session coming up next week. You're watching this one closely, I assume. The prison situation being what it is, and then some of the details, a draft proposal leaked out to the media. We kind of have an idea of what's on the table here. What's your initial reaction to this proposal?
Well, I think it's probably a good framework to iron out all the details of. I'm probably a yes on prison construction. What I'm not in favor of is adding a bunch of other things to the prison issue right now in a special session. You know, I really don't want to deal with a bunch of sentencing reform issues and stuff in this special session. Those can wait till the legislature's in session. As far as I'm concerned, this special session is about the prison construction and that's the part I want to deal with in this special session. As Governor Ivey has said, this is something that's been neglected for decades. And I supported Governor Bentley's prison construction program, the first year I was in the Senate, which would be 7 years ago. And I was in favor of that. We do need to do something. The prisons are in bad shape. They're overcrowded. There's a lot of money that can be saved by consolidating some services and modernizing the prisons. You know, a major problem the Department of Corrections has is staffing. And with some modern features in some of the prisons, you know, actually less staffing will be required. You know, there are some, a modern prison is a lot easier to be protected in and much more secure than some of the facilities that we certainly have now that are many, many decades old. And so they'll be more efficient to operate, and that will actually save some money and save some staffing.
Well, and as I was telling our listeners earlier, you do have one of these facilities that is slated to be shuttered, at least according to the framework we're aware of, there in Marion County near Hamilton. But is that something significant enough that it's going to make you rethink your support for this proposal?
I am very hopeful to be able to negotiate something with that facility. As far as what's in the bill, I've talked to numerous people about it already and have talked to the governor's office about it. That is very important to Marion County. And, I would not like to see it closed. I would like to see it stay open. Again, I'm sensitive to the idea of that we've got to consolidate some services. But, you know, there are not very many facilities in North Alabama, and it's a good location. It's been there a long time. It's a vital part of the community. It amounts to about 100 jobs for Marion County. And, I would like to see it stay open, but hopefully something is going to be worked out. You know, and I think that if we build a third prison down the road, I think North Alabama has got to be considered for one of the locations with the two that we're talking about in this initial construction phase, one being in Elmore County and the other one being in Escambia County. And there's, you know, nothing Elmore County north. So I think a location in North Alabama would be a good place to have one. And Marion County would be a very good place to have a major prison. We have interstate access. There's a readily available workforce. There's already a prison in the community. So a lot of the criteria that you could look for a good location, Marion County meets every one of those. So the bottom line is I would like to see the A&I facility in Hamilton stay open, but and I hopefully something can be worked out as we work through that bill.
How much, you talked about the economic impact. So we had one of your colleagues on yesterday, Democrat Billy Beasley on, and his concern was this, that you have these water systems, these sewer systems, the local infrastructure there, where you had these municipalities bet big on having the Department of Corrections as a customer, that if the state goes away, then these small towns in Alabama will be on the hook for overcoming, you know, that shortfall, and a lot of these places bonded out their water and sewer. Does that become an issue for Marion County?
I don't think that, you know, the facility in Marion County is right in Hamilton. I mean, it's literally right next door to a McDonald's. And again, it's an aged and infirm facility. So, you know, the issue of escape and all that's not really an issue with there. And so that prison's located almost right in town. So the point there is Hamilton's not just a real small town that just grew up around the prison and their whole economy is dependent on the prison. It's an important part of the economy. I'm not minimizing that, but I appreciate Senator Beasley's position. And I know there are towns that expanded their sewer, that expanded their water system to accommodate the prison. And then if the prison closed, you know, they're massively overbuilt on that type of infrastructure. But that's not the case in Hamilton. It's not going to shut down the town of Hamilton if the facility there closes. It's an important part of the local economy, but it's not such a major part that it's going to dramatically affect the Hamilton overall picture with their water system or their sewer system or something like that.
Yeah, it's one of the smaller ones, but you feel like otherwise this is something that let's just speak from purely the fiscal side of this, from the dollars and cents point of view, that this is about as good as we're probably going to get as a state.
You mean as far as the construction now?
As far as the cost. The word on the street is $150 million and unforeseen surplus for the general fund. Then you got some federal money that could be used. We're still waiting, I guess, to get the official word on that. And then finally, the bond rate. Whatever you had to bond that's left over, you got a really low bond rate. So all things considered, if you have questions about this from a fiscal conservatism standpoint, this is probably as good as it gets for government expenditures.
Absolutely. You know, and like I said, I supported the prison construction several years ago, but at that time we didn't have the federal money available and didn't have the surplus in the budget. You know, and we have been very fiscally conservative with the budgeting process, and it's resulted in us being in a sound financial position. Alabama is in the top 10 in the country as far as the states whose economy weathered the last year and a half. And so we've done well from an economic standpoint as far as the state's concerned. And you're exactly right, Jeff. This is all three of those factors of the economy, the budget being in good shape, and having the federal money, and then bond rates being low. All three of those factors are together at this time, and that does make it probably the ideal time to make a move on this. So, but the other thing is, I talked before about the efficiencies of some consolidation and modernization of the Department of Corrections facilities, and they feel like that they can save enough in expenditures through the efficiency of the newer system to make the bond payments, basically. So it is a unique opportunity to save money and have some money available from outside sources like the federal stimulus money. You know, I mean, and that's a whole nother issue. If you're a small government conservative like I am, you know, we're on the one hand saying we're going to spend that money, but on the other hand, really the federal government's giving us money that they don't have. And so in the long term of driving up inflation, I don't think that's sound fiscal policy from a federal standpoint. But on the other hand, some of it may bail us out on prison in the short term. But long term, I don't think that's good governmental policy.
Senator, last question before we get you out of here. You've been very kind to come on. Reapportionment special session probably soon to follow. Do you see any big changes for your Senate district on the horizon?
There'll probably be some changes. And I'll be honest, I don't know exactly what they will be. We've been told that they want to follow county lines more closely than they have been followed, and, you know, want to try to mesh House and Senate districts together a little bit better. You know, right now I have all of two counties and part of three counties. And, of course, Cobbard and Franklin County are the two that I have the entire county. And those two counties together don't get me up to the population threshold. And then if Lawrence and Marion County, neither one of those, if I took those totally, neither one of those would get me up to the to the population number that you're looking at for each Senate district. So I could conceivably go from all of two and part of three to maybe all of three and part of another one to get me up in the 140,000 something population range that each Senate district looks like is going to probably be. So I may lose one of the counties that I have part of and then get all of one of the other ones that I have part of. But, you know, whether that's Lauderdale, Lawrence, or Marion really hadn't been decided yet. And where those lines are going to fall, we don't exactly know. So.
Well, hey, Senator, you've been very kind. We're up against a break here, but hopefully we can talk again soon. And stay safe down in Montgomery next week.
Great. Look forward to seeing you in person, Jeff. And thank you again for having me on the show.
Hey, thanks for coming on. State Senator Larry Stutz there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.